Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, welcome once again to another Bible Talk. We're sitting here relaxing, taking a pause from our busy days and having a little refreshment. We hope you are too. And we're so glad you're with us today. This is Bobby Hamlin.
And I'm Rich Hormerez. And yes, it's so nice to have you joining us. We're visiting with Pastor Joe, and we're continuing talking about the treasures of God, digging deep into Scripture as we look at the treasures that our Lord has in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Now, Pastor Joe, why don't you continue with your thoughts on our passage?
Faith is simply given to us by God, along with His grace and His mercy, according to His plan and purpose. And because of that, He gets all the glory in the end. And because of that, nobody can say, well, I cooperated with God in saving me by exercising my free will, which is not free at all. As a sinner, man is totally depraved. There's another doctrine closely connected with total depravity and original sin. It's called total inability. The Bible says, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Neither can you who are accustomed to do evil change yourselves. In the book of Jeremiah, it says in John chapter 1, that we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So our salvation does not come to us because we have a will that is separate and untouched and unaffected and unpolluted from the rest of our intellectual and spiritual and human faculties, which are all under the domain of original sin. No, the will is just as enslaved to sin as our minds and our hearts and our judgment, our reason, our intellectual and emotional faculties. Sin has affected every single part of a human being. You cannot separate out the will of man and say the will of man has been left untouched by sin. Original sin has affected every part of man's being, including his will. So he only desires to live for himself, and his will is driven and affected by his sinful nature and the choices he makes. Although he may do good things here and there and do good deeds, yet in his nature, in his heart, in his will, in his affections, he is enslaved to sin, so that his motives and his choices are always for the wrong reasons, because his nature is selfish and his ego desires to be the focus to be on him rather than on God, instead of altruistic motives for the glory of God alone. The next logical question someone would ask, I think, they would say, Joe, if our will is enslaved to our nature and faith is a gift of God and faith comes from God, the next logical question a person will ask is, where does a person get that faith? How do they get the faith? Well, the Bible tells us that whatever we lack, we go to God for it. Now, I would hasten to add that we don't pray for faith first. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are believing in him, if we find that we come up short in the area of faith, we need to remember that the Bible says even the faith of a mustard seed, even the smallest faith, will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done. In other words, the smallest faith can do the greatest miracles, as it were, or the biggest things. And so an unsaved person who's seeking should not examine his faith and allow his faith to be the criteria before he begins to trust in the Lord and call upon the Lord for salvation. Because if we look within ourselves, we'll always see weakness. We'll always see a need for more faith. And remember, our own level of faith and our own inner strength or lack thereof is not the criteria. It is not the thing that we're to be looking at in terms of whether we qualified for salvation. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. He alone can save us. Salvation is of the Lord. Therefore, we take our eyes off of our faith, however weak it is, and with the smallest faith you may have, you go to the Lord and trust Him. Don't examine your faith, because you can end up committing a big, big mistake, and that is you will end up looking at yourself and your faith rather than looking to Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, that's a good point, because there are many that sometimes look at their own faith and their ways that they've failed, and they start to doubt their salvation, but yet we're to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and to lean not onto our own understandings. And that's a good point that you make, that you know, we're to keep our eyes on the Lord and not on ourselves.
Right. And with the smallest faith, we go to the Lord, not looking at our faith, but just trusting Him with the faith He has given us. Even if we have small faith, God has given us that small faith. And with it, whatever level it may be, small, medium, or large, we go to the Lord and we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Another important thing that can strengthen faith, however, is reading and meditating on the Scriptures. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Or we can say it another way, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We can also read the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. There's a close connection between reading the Word, meditating on the Scriptures, and believing in this, what we read, with the increase of faith. We also read in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." So the Word of God enables us to grow in our faith, and as believers or as unsaved people, we grow and develop more and more faith as we read the Scriptures and look to Christ for salvation.
Right. And the Bible itself tells us that the Word of God is a tool that God uses to open our eyes, right? Like you're just saying, Joe, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've shared about this before. As you get into the Word and read it, then you could be, if you're truly searching from your heart for the truth, that God uses His Word as a tool to open your spiritual eyes, and suddenly you realize, He puts that realization into you, that what you're reading is truth. And so that's a way that your faith can grow, as He opens your eyes and opens those realizations to you.
Absolutely correct. According to the Bible, faith is essential to Christianity. Without demonstrating faith and exercising faith, trusting in God, we have no place with the Lord. We're not accepted by the Lord. So we believe that God exists, and we believe that He is a rewarder of those that seek Him, that pray, that trust Him. God is never, in 6,000 years of Earth's history, in 6,000 years of having dealings with people, men, women, boys, and girls, God has never lied. He has never broken a promise. He's always been true to His nature. He cannot deny Himself. He is perfect in righteousness, perfect in truth, perfect in holiness. He has never told a lie. There is no sin in God. And so we can trust Him. He is trustworthy. And so we have to just believe what He says in the Bible without seeing Him, without hearing Him, without looking for evidence or miracles. Most people have a vague, disjointed notion of God, but lack the reverence necessary for God's glory, for His exalted position in their lives. And these people very often lack the true faith needed to have a saving relationship with Him. Our faith can falter at times, but because it's the gift of God given to His children, given to those who seek Him, He provides times of trial and testing in order to grow our faith, in order to prove that our faith is real and to sharpen our faith and to strengthen our faith. This is why James tells us to consider it joy when we fall into various trials, because the testing of our faith produces perseverance and matures us, providing the evidence that our faith is real. And so if you lack faith and if you're struggling and confused, the same book of James tells us, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. And so whatever you need, whether it's more faith, more knowledge about how to exercise faith, or whatever you're lacking, Jesus Christ will fill in what is lacking in you. You just go to Christ and tell him that he knows all about your need and to supply what you need in terms of your knowledge and understanding of salvation, and just trust him to save you.
Well, that's wonderful guidance, Pastor Joe. So if we move on now in our passage, the next thing we see is that the passage explains how we don't get salvation. It says, not of works. Now, you've talked about that a little bit already. And if we've done a lot of Bible studies or if we've gone to church a lot, we're used to hearing that word, works. But a non-believer or a new believer could wonder, what does that mean by works? Is that talking about what I do for work? Or is it saying not by how hard I work at my job? Like, could you explain exactly what it means by works?
Sure. Our text in Ephesians 2 mentions twice in verses 8 and 9 that it is not of yourselves, it is not of works. So grace and salvation, for that matter, does not originate within ourselves. It is not of works. So God says both internally and externally, salvation and grace does not proceed by something inside of you or something you do.
So works is something you do.
Works is something you do. And we read in the scripture that God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, in 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. Also in Romans 11, we read, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And so there's a complete opposite meaning and contradiction between grace and works. If you and I seek to be saved by anything in and of ourselves, or by the works of our hands, then it cannot be by grace. Salvation will not come from God. It's either we save ourselves or God saves us. There's no overlap. It's not a little bit of us and mostly of God, or a little bit of God or mostly of us. It has to be, that is salvation, completely of God. As Jonah says, salvation is of the Lord. It cannot be of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. It changes the very definition and meaning of what grace is. If you even have a smidgen, even the smallest amount of your own contribution, of your own self, of your own past, your own religion, your own good deeds, your own works, you will not be saved. God will not hear your prayer for salvation. God will not hear your prayer if you are a Christian, if you pray with some kind of works mingled in to that prayer, believing God will accept you and hear you based on something you're doing or something you're earning or based on some merit you see within yourself that God is pleased with. The Bible says it's not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Remember what Romans 4 says, Rich, in verses 1 through 3, using Abraham as an example. He says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So salvation, in the case of Abraham and in everybody, was based on grace, something he doesn't do, but something God gives him, through faith. Faith is like a bridge. It gets us from one side to the other, but we can't even take credit for exercising faith in Christ, because God gives us faith as a gift. Even the bridge itself is constructed by God for us to get from one side to the other. But we are commanded to exercise that faith through our minds, through our hearts, through our spirits. We exercise faith. But again, faith is a gift from beginning to end, from the beginning of our seeking salvation to the very end when God saves us. We cannot take credit for anything, not even faith. That's why it says it's not of ourselves. Why? Because we'll boast. If even the smallest aspect of our salvation is attributed or credited to us, the flesh and pride and egotism of man will very quickly take credit for it, like it, and give us cause to boast. And when we boast, we'll take the glory away from God. Just as God said about Abraham, that Abraham has found nothing to boast about in his salvation. He trusted in Jesus Christ, just like you and me did, for salvation, and he was justified based on grace through faith, just as you and I did. And the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Some people say, well, Joe, I've kept the commandments. I'm a nice person. I try the best I can. I do the best I can. And I've kept the commandments. Well, they don't mean they've kept them perfectly. They may have kept many of them. But God expects and requires people to keep the commandments perfectly in order to be entitled to heaven. And so God says, by keeping the commandments partially, no one has kept them perfectly except the Lord Jesus Christ, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Someone says, well, why did God give us the Ten Commandments if we cannot earn our salvation by keeping them? Well, right here in Romans 3:20, it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The function of the Ten Commandments is to expose our sin, to give us a knowledge that we're sinners, or else we will have and see no need for salvation if we don't see that we need to be saved from something, from our sin. And so the Ten Commandments reminds us that we've broken the commandments, we've not kept them, makes us feel bad, it convicts us of our sins and our broken commandments, which drives us, said conviction drives us, the sorrow for sin and repentance drives us to Jesus Christ to be saved by faith in him. And so someone would ask, as the scripture does in Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Galatians says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we believers have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So, to answer your question, the Bible teaches that we're not saved by works, by our good deeds, because we'll boast, we'll take the glory and credit away from God, and we cannot have our works accepted by God anyway. God repudiates and rejects everything that is of self, everything within that we think is acceptable to God, and everything we do. It's all rejected by God. Only through Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, are we saved.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Now, Pastor Joe, you're talking about works here, and some might be looking at James chapter 2, verse 17, where it says, faith without works is dead. And here we're told that our salvation is not of works. So how do you explain that? It sounds like we have a contradiction here.
No, it's a very simple explanation. James 2 teaches that works are not the grounds and basis of our salvation. Works are the evidence that we're saved. They're the fruits that a saving work of the Holy Spirit has been done inside of us. And so it's a big difference between the grounds of salvation and the evidence of salvation. Works can never be the grounds of our salvation. And that's what the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews teaches us very clearly, that we're not saved or sanctified as Christians by our works. Works naturally build and develop and emerge from our Christian life and our service and our activities as the Holy Spirit empowers us and stirs up fresh love for Christ. The works spontaneously flow from our relationship with Christ as our love for the Lord and our desire to worship Him increase. But they are never, that is, our salvation and our sanctification are never brought about by anything we do with our hands. It's only by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And our works are done based on the grace God gives us to love Him and to serve Him. And again, our works themselves are done in God. And the very next verse in Ephesians 2:10, after verses 8 and 9, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which the Lord has ordained that we should walk in them beforehand." So even our works were ordained by God. In John 15, Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit," or works, "and that your fruit should remain." So no one can even take credit for the works that they do.
You know, it's also interesting how our Lord says that we were created by God and for God.
Yes, we were created by God and for God. And that's why it's so important that anyone listening to this program pull back and first of all think about, what is the purpose of your existence? What's the meaning of life? Look at the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were created out of the dust of the ground for the very purpose of worshiping God, having fellowship and communion with God. That is the main and only reason why we were created to begin with, that is Adam and Eve. But sin entered the picture and the fall took place, and sin took over, and we became slaves of sin, born in original sin. But God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue us from sin by faith in Him and to reconcile us to God so that we can get back to that status and that ability that Adam and Eve had to love Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to know Him, to get pleasure only and joy and fulfillment and gratification only in serving God, walking with God, knowing God, doing works for God. This is why we live. And we need to make sure that we count the cost and that we don't get caught up in the things of the world, and that the cares of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the material things of this world do not usurp nor supplant the place and the purpose of Jesus Christ for us as Christians, which is to spend as much time as we can in loving Him, serving Him, and knowing Him. Everything else we do in this life, including our jobs and so many other activities, are just an interruption, a parenthesis in knowing God, in becoming more deeply in love with Him and one with Him.
Yes, and what a rich existence it is when He opens our eyes and we get to know Him.
Amen. Praise God.
Well, I have a follow-up question. So we've read in the Bible how salvation is a gift of God. And say the Lord has opened up our eyes and we have faith that God has saved us through grace alone, just because He loves us and forgives us. So we have that understanding now. But I've been reading how Christians often don't live what they believe. They live as though they do have to earn it. We might feel a heavy burden that we haven't read the Bible enough or We haven't volunteered enough or whatever, and we're afraid that God will turn his back on us. So have you found that, Pastor Joe? And if so, what do we do about that so we can actually live what we believe?
Well, if a Christian has a guilty conscience and feels that he or she has not done enough for the Lord, I think there's a danger in going back to a works-oriented mindset, thinking that we're approved by God by what we do, not by who we are in Christ. The only grounds of our acceptance with God is the righteousness, the merit, the high priestly intercession, and the atoning work and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. If God does not see us or view us through the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ, and does not have a relationship with us based on the meritorious and effectual prayers and intercessions of our Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot come into the Holy of Holies. We have no acceptance before the Godhead. We cannot even come into his presence. Christ mediates everything we are as Christians and everything we do for Christians. So a true believer dare not come into the presence of God without consciously aware of the fact that he is coming into God's presence through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his merits and his work and his righteousness. So whenever a Christian begins to think, I have not done enough, he or she will get a guilty conscience and will become temporarily blinded into believing he must do more to earn God's favor. He must do more. He must go to church more. When he forgets the fact that everything we are in Christ, including our salvation, our election, and what comes after them, which is our sanctification, our works, are done in Christ and are accepted by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of our works are mingled with the flesh and sin somewhere, somehow, because we're still in these human bodies. We still have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so Christ is the one who not only fills up what is lacking in us, but he perfects what is weak in us. The Bible says we, throughout Ephesians, over and over and over again, we are complete in him. We are complete in him. So when we get a guilty conscience and feel like our works are not enough, our works are not accepted, we need to do more and so forth, you need to make sure you're doing that, or you have those thoughts based on zeal for Christ and love for Christ that the Holy Spirit produces in you, not based on guilty feelings that emanate from a legal approach to God, thinking you need to do more to be accepted by God, including your works.
Amen. Thank you.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, BibleTalk@firstloveradio.org. That's BibleTalk@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. And please remember that First Love Radio is supported solely by God's faithfulness as he inclines the hearts of friends like you to offer your support. If you would like to send us a financial gift, we'd be ever so grateful. Please make your check out to First Love Radio and mail it to First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California, 94568. Or simply donate on our website, firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.